When you start your ministry team, you have to start with who you have now. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. I'd like to chat with you today about this. How do you find and form a spirit-empowered leadership team? We work with hundreds of leaders throughout the world, our team does, and I do. And one of the things that we have to convince a pastor or ministry leader of is this. In all of their frustration with who they have out there, with who they're present, with whom they're presently working with, they have to start with who they have, and they cannot wait. When we talk to them about building a leadership team, they think in terms of, when I get the right people, we are going to start meeting regularly. But I am telling you that those folks that do that will virtually almost never start a ministry team. And as frustrating as it is sometimes, we have to start with whom we have now. As we jump into the subject today, I want to offer you a free course right up front. If you go to paultotimothy.com, you can receive a ministry training course. We want to invest into your ministry. The ministry training course is titled what we're talking about today, Find and Form Your Ministry Team. You'll love it. I'm just telling you, it's used throughout the world, and I think it'll make a big difference in your lives as it has in many others. Let's jump back to the subject today. Where do you start? How do you find and form that leadership team, especially when you have helpers and no partners? You have people that are committed to task. You have committed people that are committed to goals with you. You have folks that you can call en route to a meeting, have them do stuff, or somehow get set up or do a little bit of it or a part of it, but they don't own it. They're not partners. They are helpers. So many churches, so many ministries are actually led by the minister, the ministry leader with a handful or a bunch of helpers, but no ministry partners. It's essential that we develop a ministry team, and we have to start with whom we have now. I was in a conference a number of years ago, and at the conclusion, I did a segment on what we're talking about today, how to find and form your ministry team. And a pastor's wife stood up and she asked such a great question. She said, my husband and I are in a very small church and we don't feel like we have anybody that we can use. Out of your teaching today, can you help me know where in the world to start? Well, one of the things that I realized is I never told her where to start. That you have to start with whom you have. Let's lay a foundation for it in Scripture. The final letter from the Apostle Paul is 2 Timothy. He wrote it from the Mamertine prison in Rome. You can still visit that prison today. It's a horrific place. It was a dungeon prison. He's in chains. He knows that he is within days of his own death that will come by the hand of Nero. And as he is standing in the putrid smells, just a short walk away from the Circus Maximus, where believers are horrifically martyred to the joy of heathens as they watch in delight, the Apostle Paul has one thing on his mind. I have got to talk to Timothy one more time. Timothy is a pastor of Ephesus, the church the Apostle Paul founded, and Paul knows I need to talk to him one more time and reinforce this with him. So the theme of 2 Timothy is 2 Timothy 2:2. Commit unto the faithful the things that you've learned from me. Commit unto the faithful and they'll be able to teach others also. A paraphrase, it's accurate, is this. Timothy, you're going to have a ministry team to extend your ministry through to others. So many ministries operate on the basis of addition, but they do not operate on the basis of multiplication. And if they are operating on addition, it is probably a ministry leader with helpers. But multiplication means this. We are now investing into partners with us. And that is the message to the Apostle Paul just the emphasis, Timothy, my son, it's a mentee of his. They had ministered together for years. Paul, when he wrote 2 Timothy, is in his mid to late 60s. Timothy is in his late 30s. And as he is sharing with him, he's letting him know, build a ministry team. And so when this lady asked the question, how do you form a ministry team when you don't feel like you have anybody to form a ministry team out of? My heart went out to her. I knew the plight that she and her husband were facing. Sharon and I, my wife and I, have planted 2 churches. Out of that, we've planted 27 other churches, and out of our ministry through the years, so 29 churches total. So we've spent a lot of time answering the question, how in the world do you get a ministry team? And if you can build the right ministry team around what God is doing, I can tell you, things begin to move forward quickly. I'm not saying easily, but I am saying that you will make inroads into the culture of where you're serving. Your calling will be contextualized with an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not only because of what God is doing in you individually, but because of the team that you have formed around you. So you and I, too, have to find the faithful. Matter of fact, when you think about 2 Timothy 2:2, where the emphasis is, the things that you've learned from me, commit unto the faithful who will be able to teach others also. There are really 4 major actionable verbs related to that. You're going to have to discern who to get. You're going to have to recruit them. You're going to have to train them. And you're going to have to empower them. I don't think you can fulfill that mandate of 2 Timothy 2:2, finding and committing to the faithful without pulling all 4 of those constructs off. You are going to have to discern who to get. You're going to have to recruit them. You're going to have to train them. And you're going to have to empower them. Let's jump right into the 4 things that have to happen on the front end of ministry. So I can just tell you, I know what it is when you have 15 people, 20 people, 50 people, and then obviously we've pastored much larger numbers than that, but we started with 0. We started with no one and no team. What do you do? Number one is you're going to have to recruit the best that you can get right now. In other words, you're going to have to start with whom is presently able and willing to connect with you. The second thing is this, is I want you to think in terms of when you are working with your initial group of folks, get them started. They will start as helpers and not partners. Get them started, but secondarily, ask for a higher level commitment. When you look at the context of 2 Timothy 2:2, which I referenced, the things that you've learned from me, commit unto the faithful who will be able to teach others also. Proceeding those verses is this emphasis to Timothy that, Timothy, you're going to have to find people that commit like a soldier, like an athlete, and like a farmer. What is Paul talking about? He defines it in context. Soldiers think about loyalties. Loyalty to the voice of their commanding officer, to the Lord. Athletes think about disciplines that equip them to do well. Farmers think about patience in the process. They will be rewarded, but it's over time and it's over continuing doing the right things day after day and week after week. And as you're asking people for a stronger commitment, talk to them about their loyalties. Talk to them about even disciplines. I do that regularly with ministry leaders. I want to know about their prayer life. I want to know about how they're digging into the scriptures. I want to know how they're learning and growing their competencies of knowledge, attitudes, and skills in what God has called them to do. What are the disciplines they're incorporating into their lives? Thirdly, I'd like to know how patient they are in the process. Nothing happens fast. It's birthed through time. It grows like a seed in the ground, and you have to do a whole lot of work before you ever see anything, and the first thing that you see just isn't typically that impressive. That's the real world. And ask for a higher level commitment. Recruit those whom will give you time and energy and come alongside you. Secondarily, as you're working with that initial group of folks, ask them for a stronger commitment. The third dynamic is this: discern who is celebrating what God is doing in the church. And I know this sounds self-serving, but who is celebrating what God is doing in you as the ministry leader? Those are really good signs of people whose commitment is becoming contextualized in your ministry in a way that is going to move into higher levels of fruitfulness. Number one is recruit the best you have. Start where you are. Number two is ask for a stronger commitment. Base that on scriptural basis, loyalties and disciplines and patience. Thirdly, discern who is celebrating what God is doing, both in the ministry, in the church, and in your leadership. And lastly, it's a big deal, out of those that are celebrating what God is doing, and these people have demonstrated a higher level commitment, find your partners. These are people that own the ministry with you. Helpers own task and goals. Partners own the outcome of the fruitfulness of the ministry. They are there out of this passion for God. Matter of fact, to take a look at how Jesus chose his first leaders. These are those whom he ended up turning the church over to in the book of Acts. So these are really folks that started out as helpers, but they became partners to the point that when he left and empowered them by his Spirit, they carried forth because they were genuine partners of his purposes and the fruitfulness of the ministry. So how did Jesus choose those partners? How did he find them out of his followers, out of his helpers? They had these characteristics. Think of these when you're reading the Gospels. These are people of a radicalized obedience to Jesus. They're just living by all the light that they have. Secondarily, they are people of deep sacrifice. They are ready to commit in ways that cost them dearly. And thirdly, they're driven by a passion for the purposes of God. Those three characteristics are interior characteristics. So many years in the pastorate, I looked for the flashy. I looked for people that immediately had something that I felt like, man, that will work. That'll work on a platform. You have charisma. You have this. And I'm all for those things. I'm all for the giftedness side of ministry. But the foundation of a team doesn't begin with their giftedness. It begins with their motivations. This foundation of obedience, sacrifice, and passion. These are the foundational qualities that are just so essential. When I think back to the lady that asked the question in the conference that I was speaking at, and she said, how do we get started? I wish I would have had a better answer, because I talked to her about the value of a team, but I didn't talk to her about the process of getting a team, and it's kind of earthy. So just in wrap up, here they are again. Start with whom you have. Secondarily, when you begin working with a group of folks, they're really not a team. They're more of a group to begin with, task and goals. Secondarily, ask them for a stronger commitment. What you're asking for are loyalties to Jesus, disciplines that make them effective, and patience. The analogies Paul uses in 2 Timothy, soldier, athlete, and farmer. Thirdly, discern who is celebrating what God is doing in the ministry, in the church, and through your leadership. That's so essential, because that's an indication God is putting them with you in a closer, more dynamic way. And lastly, find your partners out of them. Partners own the outcome of the ministry. They own the fruitfulness of the ministry. And what you are looking for are people that are radically obedient to Jesus, deeply sacrificial, and passionate for furthering the purposes of God. Those are the three dynamic qualities that Jesus had to have first before he developed the specific competencies of effectiveness. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are, whether you're in a church or a ministry like the lady that asked me the question, they actually ran in the 20s. And she asked that question, where do you start when you don't feel like you have anybody? Or maybe you have a larger than that, or maybe even a medium size or very large. Do you have real partners and not simply helpers? Well, I can tell you at paultotimothy.com, you can go there right now and receive a resource for how to find and form your ministry team. We want to invest into your ministry. Hundreds and hundreds of leaders have used this resource, and we are convinced that it will be a blessing to you, and we want to bless your ministry. Go to paultotimothy.com, and you can receive the free ministry training course, Find and Empower Your Ministry Team. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, and it has been great to share with you along the line of getting your ministry team up and running. Bless you.